Back to our text this morning, John chapter 4. John 4. Religion to relationship. I've said for the last few Sundays that we can be so much consumed by the things that make us Christians, the things that make us who we are as the children of God. And we can be so much lost in them and we miss out on the mission of Christ himself. And I've said many times, it doesn't matter how many times you attend church. When I used to be a teenager, I used to count on the calendar that how many times have I missed church in the year. I used to try and miss at most 3 times. And I used to tick the calendar every month. And I've said it doesn't matter how many times you can tick the Sundays, how many times you can attend conferences, how many times you can go for Bible study, if your relationship with Christ is not right, if the journey with Christ has not even started, they all amount to nothing. It's just amazing how much one can do because of love. And Jesus is one of those that gave up everything. He gave up heaven. He gave up the comfort of being called a prince. He gave up the comfort of being called the Son of God. He gave up the comfort of being a royal, surrounded by the angels, and being served by angels to come and die for you and I. To be ridiculed, abused, and nailed on the cross that was cast by people. Living next to the siren here sometimes is not a good thing, but sometimes it's a good thing. Because sometimes in the middle of the night, I hear this thing ringing in the middle of the sleep, and you have to wake up. You can't sleep when that thing is making noise. But I think with the time I've come to appreciate my friend here, Lee, and his team, there's something I've learned from what they do. These guys will break even the traffic rules because they want to save a house. They can break every rule within the town because they're going to save rules. They're saving a house. They're saving life. They want to reach somebody as quickest as possible. So I've learned from these guys, it's amazing how much you can step on, how much we can break to touch the man, the lady, the child you care for, the person you love. And Jesus is one of those people that he had to break so much to reach out to the Samaritan people, people that were despised, people that were rejected, people that were isolated by the rest of the Jewish community. Yet, if you look at the branch, these guys were part of the Jewish family. So let's look at the theme today, breaking the barriers. I want us to learn from Jesus that how much he had to endure even breaking some of the regulations to be able to reach out to this lady and show her love of God. And before I do that, let me just quickly give you the background of this community. You know, sometime we can assume, but let me give you the background of this community. Now, the city of Samaria was founded by Omri, king of Israel, and later became the capital of the northern kingdom. Until when the Assyrians invaded and destroyed it at about 722 BC. Then they deported most of the Jews who lived there and brought in pagans, like Cuthah, Awa, Hamath, and Shambavai from Babylon and settled them in the towns of Samaria. The Old Testament points out that these new settlers intermarried with the few original Jewish settlers who were not taken into exile. And the result was mixed blood descendants. Now, while these people were worshiping the Lord, they were also serving the idols, according to 2 Kings 17:41. And those who were living in exile felt betrayed. And when they came back to rebuild the temple for the Lord, they refused to allow the Samaritans to partake in the rebuilding of the temple. These are people. And I can understand why they refuse them to partake in the rebuilding, because we've been taken exile because of our resistance to the destruction of the God we care for. And these guys, they were persecuted. They were tortured away. And now they're coming back, and these guys are saying, we want to be part of this construction. I mean, if I were one of these guys who came back from exile, I'll say no. I'll say no. You're not part of me. You betrayed me. And this is what happened there. And because of this, the Samaritans through Sanballat and Tobiah tried to prevent the building of the city wall, according to Nehemiah. And the hatred between Jews and the Samaritans became too great to be healed. And slowly the two groups separated completely. Just in a small way, you can understand the hatred, the bitterness between these two communities. These are people, most of them came from the same family. They used to worship one God at one place. But now they've created barriers that ended up destroying them and separated them completely. We can see from here that Jesus was going to a danger zone, that the interaction he had with that Samaritan woman broke barriers and set a new agenda for a fresh relationship between God, Jews, and the Samaritans. And before I share some of the barriers, I just want us to see how it all started from John. Jesus has been in Judea for some time while in Jerusalem. He attended the Passover there, cleansed the temple. At the Passover festival, many people saw the signs he was performing and believed in his name. And later held talks with Nicodemus, as we saw last time. And in the Judean countryside, he and his disciples baptized many people. In chapter 4 that we are going to share today, now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. And Jesus, knowing that his success in winning disciples was a subject of concern to the Pharisees, left Judea and returned to Galilee. A lot of theologians believe probably probably not wanting to the Pharisees to question him prematurely about the ministry, and not wanting the confrontation. Because already the Pharisees and other groups hated the work that John was doing. They felt that it was so different. They didn't like John. But then they've seen Jesus has come. John the Baptist, his disciples have joined Jesus. Jesus is doing even much greater signs, much greater stuff. There are so many people following Jesus. A lot of baptisms are happening. The hatred is building. So the Bible says that knowing that that was happening, Jesus left immediately. Jesus left immediately and went to Galilee. And although the shortest route from Galilee to Judea to Galilee crossed Samaria, it was not the usual one for the Jews to take because the general hostilities between Jews and Samaritans. The Jews often preferred the longer route, which crossed over Jordan and went through Perea when traveling between Judea and Galilee. It's just amazing because of the hatred and because of the separation, but even above all, because of the impurity the Jews perceived or assumed or believed that these guys were so impure, made them even not to cross through the Samaria area. It takes me back in the 80s. I'm not sure when HIV was discovered, but I remember back in Africa, it was back in the 80s that HIV and AIDS was discovered. And it caused a lot of trauma in a lot of families. Because if you lost just a little bit of weight, people assume that you are HIV positive. And people will not come close to you. People not even want to shake your hand. People not want to spend time with you. It was so bad for a lot of families. And even when somebody died like that, a lot of people refused to attend the funeral just in case they can be infected with the viruses. It was very bad. Now, this may not be necessarily the HIV and AIDS, but the Jewish community believed that if you interact with a Samaritan person, if you shake their hands or you share a meal with them, because they're so impure, they're sinners, most likely you become a sinner yourself. You'll not be pure. You'll not be part of us. You'll not belong to the family of God. And I can see the risk Jesus is taking, the barrier that he has to cross. Not just reach this lady, but to go through Samaria. To go through this land that most people, in fact, some analysts say that it used to take us double. If it took you 3 days, from Judea to Galilee, going through Samaria, if it took you 3 days, if you go around to Jordan, it would take you 6 days. I'm not sure about that, but some theologians believe that. But these guys, they felt it's as important for us to take the 6 days journey to Galilee than try to go through this shortcut to this place. To maintain your purity, to maintain your holiness as a person. Verse 4 indicates that Jesus had to break that barrier by going through Samaria, an area shunned by many Jews. And by going through Samaria, Jesus demonstrated that no barrier can stand before him and his people. I want to remind us today that the one who has redeemed us, the one who has called us to be here and stand before him, even though he knows that we are sinners, at least for me, he's happy with me. He didn't choose me because I was a good person. He didn't choose me because I came from a particular family. He chose me because he knew that I had weaknesses, but he made that choice. And he's willing to sacrifice for me, even on the cross. Even at death, the stone that was buried on top of him could not hold him on the ground. Even the stone that was rolled by so many people to keep him down there, to destroy him completely, that could not hold him down there because of you and me. He said, I don't care what you guys believe. I don't care what you guys think about me. I don't care what you feel about me. I'm going through Samaria to go to the other side. I want to remind us today, there's no forces of darkness. There's no any force of evil that can stand before him to stop him to care for you and I. Satan may have his ways. He may have his angels. He may want to do whatever we want to do. But I'm one person that believes that the purposes of God and the plans of God can never be stopped by the plan of cannot be stopped by the plans of Satan. That whatever Satan is trying to do, whatever he's planning, even if he wants to change the world to himself, even if he wants to change the society for himself, that he can never stop the purposes and the plans of God. I want you to sit down and rest. I like the calmness of this lady at the well. I want to imagine, because I wasn't there, the way she was calm, relaxed. She took the container. Some of you guys who've never been to the villages, you know, some of us who've been to the villages where water is gotten down there, it takes time. And she's calm with her container at the well, waiting for water. She's not embarrassed to talk to the man there who is a Jew. Yet at the well, we see Jesus breaking another barrier, that he shared water with the Samaritan woman. Jews were not permitted to share meals with Samaritans. He says in verse 7, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" And she said, "You're a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. This lady, she's even surprised. How? I like the curiosity. When I think about her curiosity, I'm thinking about Nicodemus. How can this happen? How can I get into my mom's womb to be born again? That's kind of curiosity Christ is looking in us. The curiosity to understand. The curiosity to know even better. She's saying, since when that you guys actually share with us stuff? Since when Jews and Samaritans even sit together? In our culture, before the rules and laws were changed back at home, in our culture, if you're accused, even if not convicted, but you're accused of either rape, murder, any sin that is done here that is like life sentence or death sentence, those days in our culture, you were banished from the society, including your family. You not share the supermarket together. You not share the water together. You not share anything, even school. You not share together. Your family is banished, and your temporary structure of a house is burned on the ground from the community. This is how the Jews who came from exile looked at these Samaritans people. They look at them people that have, you're almost putting them like murderers, people that have betrayed them, their faith, their God. We can't even eat a meal together with you. We can't even sit down and even have a chat together. And there are other instances in the Bible where Paul rebuked Peter by saying that while Peter was in Antioch, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. Even Jesus, after he did all this, you can see the disciples even later on, they're struggling. This was something that was hard for them. They're struggling to eat with these people together. You can see Paul is shocked that even you, Peter, you're hiding. You're refusing to eat with these people together. And sometimes I ask myself, how much do we do the same? We isolate people. We push people away from us. We banish people from us. You can't share with us. Jesus reminded it in Nicodemus in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world that he gave his beloved son. Not because the world was perfect, but because the world needed somebody to care for them. And I believe as Christians, we are not different from those people if we don't carry the same passion, the same love in our hearts for those people on the other side. Sin is another barrier that was broken. The Samaritans have been labeled as sinners and impure people. Yet Jesus chose to spend time with this woman at the well and later agreed to stay with the Samaritan people for 2 days. This is somebody who is beginning his ministry. But he's not scared of the label that he's going to be given. He's not scared that people will say that we don't want to associate with you because you are eating with this kind of people. He's not scared. He's saying, I'll go and stay with them maybe 2 days to reassure them that God loves you as Samaritans. Just the way he cares for the other Jewish people, he cares for you as well. The Bible says that Jesus became a friend of tax collectors and generally the sinful people who were not only despised, but they supported the righteous, but were thought to be unworthy of attention. And he gave time and energy to relationships. The last thing I want to share with us, the last barrier was a place of worship between Samaritans and Jews. The Samaritan woman seemed to understand the debate between the Jews and the Samaritans over a place of worship. She said that our ancestors worshipped on this mountain. But you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. And friends, I think the church today has fallen into the same trap. We fall in the same trap because it's very easy to say this is the right church and this is not the right church. We become the judges. We become judges. Jews had their own holy site, and Samaritans too. And both the Jews and Samaritans ridiculed each other in respect of the other's holy site. But like how Jesus responds to them, Jesus' response was to point out the temporary nature of the locations for worship and to see the correct way to worship God. He said that true worship is in spirit and in truth. It is in one's own heart, on one soul, where true worship takes place. And friends, as I finish, I want to encourage us today that the presence of God cannot be limited by places. The power of God cannot be limited by places. And I like what Jesus is saying, that because God is a spirit, that you can only worship in the spirit. You cannot limit God. There's no barrier that can stop him, as I said before. Whether the forces of darkness cannot stop him. And I've said, you know what? It doesn't matter where you worship. It doesn't matter how you worship. If it's not coming from the heart, it can only be fake, but not for God. Because the Father that has called us can see the heart. We may do it for people. We may do it for people to see. We may even put up a strong band here, but it's not coming from the heart. It's not genuine. And my friends today, I want to encourage us that the things that were given for us, the music, the facilities like this one, the denominations that were given for us for God's glory, have become the barriers that are keeping the presence of God away from us. As I think of my own heart, I want you to think about your own heart. When I've learned this truth, I've said, when I see people raise up their hands and worship God, I'll not judge them. When I see people kneel down and worship God, I'll not judge them. When I see some people dance, because I don't know where God found you. I don't know that God found you like the Samaritan lady at the well, confused and thinking. I don't know, God found you like David says, I was in the pit and you lifted me up. I don't know where God lifted you from. When I see people cry tears for God, I don't judge them because I don't know why they're crying for him. When I see people give for God, I don't judge them. The question today, that Jesus cut the barriers for you. And there are so many. How many barriers am I willing to cut? I found in my own journey, even work can become a barrier. Children can be a blessing, but they can become a barrier. Marriage is a good thing, but marriage can become a barrier for Christ. What is it that stops, comes between you and your relationship with Christ? And are we willing to say, Christ, I'm going to sacrifice no matter what it takes, that I'm going to pull through just the way Jesus said, I'm going to walk through Samaria and have fellowship with this lady. What can we learn from this story? We can see that this woman was not in a hurry to take the water home. In fact, if you read that, the Bible says that when she knew the truth, she left the water and hurriedly went back home to inform the community. And as she continued to spend time with Jesus, her growing awareness of who Jesus was became clearer and clearer. At first, Jesus was just a Jew. And then she thought that this man must be someone greater than Jacob. Oh, wait a minute. You must be a prophet. But finally, she discovered that this man is the Messiah. Sometimes the barriers stand in the way of truth. I'll finish these verses. That these verses are an account of the result of the woman's testimony to her fellow town people in Sychar. Her witness combined with the testimony of the Lord himself caused many Samaritans to confess that Jesus was the Savior of the world. As Brooke comes back to lead us and the worship team, I want us to ask this question. What about me? What about myself? A woman that was despised, a woman that was rejected, walks back to the community where people despised her. And now they trust her message. The Bible does not say that Jesus walked with her. The Bible says she went back to the community. And so many people changed their thinking. So many people were transformed. So many people came to know Christ because of this woman. Maybe today, you came to church today, you're feeling unworthy. Maybe today, you walked in today, you're feeling useless. Maybe today you felt that, what can I do? The woman did very little because Christ did everything. And I believe in my heart that if you've received the true revelation like this woman, if you understood what the role and your relationship with Jesus Christ, the message of Christ cannot be hidden from us. As I pray, I want you to stand, if you are able to stand, those of us who can stand, I want to pray for you this morning. That God knows you can make a difference. Jesus knows that you can make a difference. Your testimony may not be the testimony of Nicodemus. Nicodemus had a big testimony, a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jew, who and who. But Nicodemus never brought the community back to Jesus. This woman had nothing. This woman was painted a sinner, but she brings this crowd back to Jesus. Lord, I thank you today because we have many of us today that are feeling that they cannot do anything for you. But I know, God, it's not about us. It's about you. that your testimony is real and genuine. And today I pray for those that are feeling hopeless from this place. I pray, Father, that as we walk from this place, that your name will be lifted up. Because your Bible says that when we lift up your name, you draw people to yourself. And I pray, Lord, may you help us to lift you up in everything we do, whether it's work, school, study, and everything, that your name will be lifted up. And today pray that, Lord, may you help us. Help us to be like this lady, curious, kind, and asking the right questions. Thank you, Jesus.